אוקיי, גוד איבנינג.
גוד איבנינג.
ואלה המשפטים אשר תשים לפניהם.
Those are the laws that you put in front of them.
What's to put in front of them? ואלה המשפטים אשר תשים לפניהם. There are a few interesting things in our parasha. First of all, what the first pasuk says is this, that we are talking here about special rules, special laws, that are being put in front of Am Yisrael and not in front of the Goyim. The Goyim have got nothing to do with those laws. So the first question is, if this is the case, we would expect to see very religious mitzvahs like tzitzis, Shabbos, tefillin, and other things. And when we look, most of the parsha is dealing with normal things that every normal society deals with. Mm. In other words, there are very simple laws, the way that they look, if we look at the surface, how to behave in a normal society. So, first of all, the question is, why did the Torah choose to put those special laws as special laws for Am Yisrael? And secondly, one of the explanations says, Tasim lifnehem, that you put them in front of Am Yisrael, but not in front of the Goyim. And from this, one of the halachos is that you're not allowed, a Jew is not allowed to go to a normal court unless he is being summoned there. Or if he went to a Beit Din, and the Beit Din gave him a permission to go to a normal court. Otherwise, every dealing and wheeling you've got with your fellow man, you have to do through the Jewish law of the Beit Din. Why? If somebody stole money from me, what's the difference if I will go to a Beis Din or I go to a normal court? In the same, in the both places, he will have to pay me back what he stole. But the answer is very simple. The Torah decided to start dafka with those mitzvahs to teach us a big lesson. If you think that because it looks like the laws of the Goyim, it is the same, you're mistaken. There is no comparisons between our laws, the Torah laws, and the others. Nothing to compare. It's a whole different thing. And the truth is, if we start looking into the laws, we find out very quickly that it is different. Just for example, if you want to, we haven't got in our parsha, we haven't heard in our parsha, if somebody kills somebody, in order to bring him to court and charge him with murder, you need so many things that it's almost
impossible
to do it.
Not almost.
They say that it, Sanhedrin Katlanit, they killed the guy once in 70 years. So it happened.
They were called a bloody...
yes, a bloody... So it can happen. It's very, it's very, very difficult. Which puts the Torah in a very strange position. He says, oh my, what do you mean? You mean I will have a murderer walking around the street because I didn't go through the whole procedure? It sounds ridiculous.
And the fellow has a knife in his
hand. He's got a knife in his hand, and the body is underneath him, and there is nobody else in the room, and still you cannot do anything. And by the way, even if they are in the room, but they didn't warn him, or even if they warn him, but he did it 2 minutes later, you still cannot take him to court and charge him with murder. I'm not going to go to that. There are systems, the system... There are ways to deal with somebody that you're sure 100% exactly that you're 100% guilty. But the idea behind it is, for example, also one of the laws in our parsha is if somebody went to court and he was found out guilty, goes out, and now they're going to kill him because we're talking about dinei nefashot, and somebody comes running, I've got something good to tell about him. Normally, in a normal court, there is a verdict. It's finished. That's it. Now, here you open the case again, and you're dealing and wheeling with it, what it is. From the other side, if he was found innocent in the trial, and he went out of the court,
and somebody comes shouting, I've got something against him, he did it. Mm-hmm. What do you do now? Nothing.
They can't do anything.
You can't do anything. Which is also very strange. But we start to understand that there is nothing, our laws are not the same. And sometimes, even if they look the same, it's because we don't understand the depth of the law, of our laws. So, the first thing is, there is nothing to put together our laws and the Goyim laws. It's a different law. And so we have to keep those special laws. Now the other question is, why did the Torah start with a Hebrew slave? Ki tikne eved ivri. It's also very strange.
Because we were slaves.
Yes, but the Torah is for eternity, forever. Mm-hmm. What does it tell us today? Is there in existence a Hebrew slave?
No. Nope, no. Except husbands.
In other words, there is. You're laughing, but there is. You know, somebody once asked somebody, is there any today? He says, look in the mirror. We are slaves of the bank. We are slaves of the law, of the house. We are slaves of a lot of things. In other words,
of the wives.
And
that's what he said.
It's very interesting if you think about it. If we think about what is a slave, or is there somebody in this world who can live free with keeping no law?
No.
So in other words, everybody is in a certain way a slave. So, okay, so let's understand the difference. What is a Hebrew slave? Because there is a difference between a Hebrew slave and a normal slave. And the Torah tells us that if somebody buys a Hebrew slave, what did he buy? A master.
Master, yeah.
Not a slave, he bought a master. What does it mean? If I have a steak for dinner today, one steak, and an egg, who is going to eat the steak and who is going to eat the egg?
The slave is going to eat the steak.
And I'm going to eat the egg. Yeah. If I have only one cushion, who is going to have the cushion? The slave. Which is also very strange. And, you know, I thought about it. The Torah is trying to tell us, there are a lot of things to learn from this. But maybe the basic thing is, what God is really telling us is, you see, you come to this world, you are going to be a slave. Now, you have the power to choose to be a slave of your desires or to be a slave of God. And you would say, okay, who cares? I'm a slave anyway. There is a small difference. Imagine to yourself that the richest guy in the world approaches you and gives you an offer. He says, I want you to be my slave. What would you say?
No.
No. I don't want to talk not nicely, but I'm going to go to hell. Well, no. I'm not no slave. I'm not going to be your slave. He says, 1 minute. Let me put the offer on the table. Then you tell me you want or you don't want. You see, I give you a house in Kfar Shmaryahu. 500 meters, okay? Okay. All the appliances, everything in, you've got. Furniture, everything in. The best one. Do you choose the best furniture? Food, you get a supply every week. The best food there is.
Not
whatever
man,
you want to eat.
What? Not man. Not mama.
Not what?
Man.
No, man, who wants man? Yo, steaks, all the best, creme brulee, all the best stuff, whatever you want to eat, but sweet, but anything, everything. Cars, no problem. Every member of the family gets a car, can choose. You want a Porsche? Porsche. What? A jug, whatever you want. Whatever you want.
Why do I have to do an exchange?
One minute. Books. What I'm giving you, everything. I just want you to keep my orders. To be my slave. And you know, I'll tell you another thing. All the things you do, you get rewarded at the end
And who is going to get the reward? You. In other words, whatever you do for me, the benefit is not for me, it's for you. Now, would you be a slave or not?
Well, you're comparing it because you're saying that that's basically what God is offering.
Of course. In other words, God is telling you, I'm giving you the Torah. If you keep the Torah, you get everything. This world and the next world. All the mitzvahs you do, they're not for me. Yes, you are my slave. But you're a slave at the end of the day that works for who?
For yourself.
For yourself.
Independent.
So who is stupid enough to say, no, I don't want to be your slave? And that's Eved Ivri. The Torah is starting to tell you, you see those laws? Before you say, no, think about what is the idea behind being a Hebrew slave. And then you realize that the Hebrew slave is really not a slave, but a master. There are a lot of other laws in the thing, but this idea is so beautiful to understand what is behind Ele HaMishpatim Asher Tassim Lifneim. First of all, there are special laws. Secondly, it's giving you the choice to be a really free man. Because the one who is really free is the one that what is the master in his being is his mind and not his desire. And not the body. Human being is built of neshama and body. This combination is dangerous. Why? That's exactly the point. Who is the master and who is the slave?
The master is the neshama.
Should be.
Really?
Should be.
Should be. Exactly. That's exactly the problem. The neshama should be the master. And the body, the slave. Unfortunately, a lot of times we found ourselves that who is the slave?
The body.
The neshama. And the master is the body.
But this week I read that the master is the head. And from the head flows through the glute.
What is the head?
The head is Hashem.
What is the head? What have you got in your head?
My brain.
What is the brain? Is the neshama.
Yes.
The brain is the neshama.
Yeah.
So in other words, the problem is that the neshama has to be connected with the body. Because you see, neshama by itself is nothing. Body by itself is also nothing. You know, somebody asked me this week, no, well, the neshama is pure. He says, what do you mean the neshama is pure? The neshama does nothing. He says, what do you mean it does nothing? God created this creation, which is called human being, Adam, in a combination of spiritual and physical. It is a combination that you cannot separate. And you have to understand it. The neshama is not something else. The neshama is a part of the body. As the body is a part of the neshama. That's why the neshama is built from five levels. We have Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. Chaya, Yechida is up there. We don't deal with it. What we deal is with the three levels, which are Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Nefesh is what everything in the creation's got. That's the
base.
Let's say the basic of life. Like moving, doing thing. Then you have the spirit, the heart, the ruach. Why do you need all those levels? Because you have to connect the physical body with the neshama. And you cannot just take the physical body, doesn't go. You need something to connect. So you have the nefesh behemit, which is the beastly soul, which is like every animal's got. And this connects with the spirit to the neshama. In other words, the neshama is built in a way that it needs to supply the body with food and all the necessary things. Because otherwise, the neshama doesn't care about those things. So you put the neshama in the body, and would you eat? No, because the neshama doesn't want to eat. So unless you connect, and if you take the neshama out, what's happened to the body? Nothing.
It's nothing.
It's nothing. In other words, you need, for this system to work, you need both. So it's like the story, which we all know, the Midrash says that about this king, he had a beautiful garden with trees and beautiful fruits, and he wanted somebody to keep the garden. He didn't know what to do because it was, the fruits were so tasty and they looked so good that if he put a normal guard there, he will just take the fruit and eat. So he found a solution. He's going to put two guards. One sees but cannot walk. The other one can walk but cannot see. So this way, the one who sees cannot walk to pick the tree, the fruits. And the other one who walks doesn't see the fruits. So he left them there. Comes after half a year. Wow. Everything. Disaster. Everything is being eaten. So he comes to the guy that walks but doesn't see and tells him, what happened here? He says, what do you want from me? I cannot see. So I cannot see, so I cannot go and take anything because don't know where I'm going. And I don't even see the fruits. He comes to the other one. He says, yes, I see, but I cannot walk. He says, what do you think, I'm stupid? He put the one who can see but cannot walk on the one who can walk and doesn't see, and together he put them on the hanging tree. And that's what's going to happen when you come up there. So the neshama is going to tell God, I am pure, I am a neshama. And the body is going to say, what do you want from me? You took the neshama, I'm nothing. So God says, what do you think? You're going to stand in judgment as a human being. Body with soul. And we have to put it in our mind. Because that's the way it works. But we have to make sure that who is the slave? The body. And who is the master? The neshama. And that's the way, if you said you talk about mind, moach, lev, kaved. That's the way it works. It's melech. It's a king. That's the way it should be. If you stand, that's also the place where the organs are. The mind is here, the heart is here, and the liver is here. But if you walk like an animal, it's all on the same level. And nevertheless, normally an animal looks down. So in other words, what is controlling the animal? Not the mind.
The lever.
So in other words, if you change the order, you are an animal. And that's what the Torah is telling us. Ela mishpatim asher tasim lifneim. First of all, you have to understand the special laws. Then you have to understand why do we start with the Hebrew slave to tell us that the best way is to do what the neshama wants you to do. Make sure that the neshama is the master and the body is the slave. That's the right way to work and go through life. Then, we have a whole story about a family here. If he's got a wife, hasn't got a wife, giving a wife, one wife, why? Because a Jewish home is built of a man, a woman, and children. That's the basic. And there are so many things that we can learn from every sentence here, but I want to go a little far, a little farther. Im kesef talve et ami. This perek, perek kaf, kaf dalet? Perek kaf bet. Perek kaf bet. 22. And pasuk 24. Kaf dalet.
22
perek. In kesef talve et ami. Got it. Im kesef talve et ami. What is im kesef talve et ami? What's the meaning? Im kesef talve et ami.
If
you demand money.
What's im? What's the word im? How would you translate
if?
If.
If?
No, no. Im?
Im? What is im?
Yes, if.
If. What does it mean if? What does it mean?
Condition.
May happen, may not happen. If it happens, if it doesn't happen.
So,
no, if it's a condition.
No, im with is a.
If you do this, I will be there. If you don't do it.
So, we look at Rashi.
What Rashi?
And what is Rashi telling us?
Yeah.
Rashi is telling us, where is it? Kaf Dalet. Oh, I see.
Oi, about Rashi de Portuguese.
Oh. Portuguese? No, he got it also in Hebrew.
She okay. Has in Hebrew. Actually.
It's also in Hebrew. 1 minute, I want to find it. Where is it? Kaf Dalet.
Not around.
No, the pasuk is Kaf Dalet. Oh, the Rashi goes here. Uh-huh. 1 minute. Here. 1 minute. Kaf Dalet, Kaf Dalet. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, Kol im ve'im shebatorah reshut. All the im, the if in the Torah is you can do it or you can't. It's your your choice. Yes, you can choice. It's a choice. You have a choice. Chutz, except three places. And one of them is here. Here it's not if on condition. Here if means when it's going to happen.
Mm.
In other words, what does the Torah tell us? If our fellow Jew comes to us and asks us for a loan. Do we have an option?
No.
No.
We have to give it to him.
We have to give him a loan.
But no reason.
If we've got it, yes. If you've got the money. No? And this is very interesting. This is also one of the laws that the Goyim haven't got. If one of the communities got problems and he comes to you for ask for a loan and you have the ability to give him a loan, it's not a matter of maybe I'll give you, maybe I won't. You have to give it. Of course, somebody asked me a question. Why? If the millionaire will come to me and ask me a loan for because he wants now to have a trip around the world, I have to give him a loan? What do you think?
No.
Why not? The Torah says, "Mikesef
talvei tamid." If he's going for a holiday or if he's going for a cure, it's a different matter. He's going to a doctor. Yeah,
it's written in the pasuk.
What is written?
Very simple. Et ani imach. The one who is poor. In other words, it's not an open field, an open law that everybody who wants money for a vacation, a holiday, or whatever is going to ask his friend and show him the pasuk. Im kesef talvei tamid, you have to give me. No. There are certain rules. The idea is very simple. Says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, I want to understand. Why is the Torah using the word if? The Torah could have said, Kasher yavo, when your friend is going to come, you're giving a loan. Why is the Torah? Well, okay, Rabbi Ishmael said what he said. It's very nice. I agree with him. But why to use this phrase?
So why Or HaChaim say?
So, Or HaChaim said a beautiful thing. If you will see that you have more than what you need, why do you have it?
Because God.
So you have the ability, not the ability, you have to give your friend. In other words, God gave you more in order for you to give it to others. He says, and that's what the Torah is telling you. The Torah is telling you that life is a very complicated thing. Some people got the parnosa easy. Some got the parnosa hard. Some, you have to give them the parnosa. In other words, you are the messenger. I gave you plenty so you can give others. And that, he says, is the if. Because if you haven't got the money to give, you cannot give. So the Torah is telling you, we're not talking about somebody who is poor by himself and his friend comes to ask him for a loan. In this case, I've got no money. What do you want from me? I need it for me. And it's very important to know. You don't give. You, first of all, you are first. That's a very important point. You don't give to others if you haven't got anything. Now, if you have, then you have to give. And who do you give? The one who needs, not the one who doesn't need.
But listen, then there is a problem.
Yes, what's the problem?
Because a rich man can think that what he has is just for his necessity. Because he wants to have a big house and many people working for him. He lives like this. But for him, this is a normal.
But that's exactly what Or HaChaim HaKadosh says. He says there is a if.
But who judge? He has to judge.
That's your job.
This is your job.
No,
that's your test in life. No, the poor guy, his test is to be poor, and your test is to be rich. Now, what do you do with it? That's exactly in Kesef Talmud, the Torah is telling you.
But also, your family comes first.
Of course, as I said.
You've got children who need, in need. Children, they come first.
Of course. And it's not only this. You know, people, some people give donations to a yeshiva at the other side of the world. While in their town, poor people are going around the street.
Mm-hmm.
What's the idea?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you look for your own family.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to the another circle. Then to another circle. Then to another circle. That's the way it works. You don't go from here, there. What did you do? That's the idea of community. In community, you have to make sure that you take care of your own before you take care of others. And it's also a big lesson. And another lesson is we have here a story with a donkey that collapsed and you have to help the enemy to pick up the stuff. Now, it's also telling you, and what is the idea of a loan? The Torah then tells you, Lo tiyeh lo kenoshe. Don't come and ask for your money every minute. Why? I gave him a loan. Why shouldn't I ask him? Says Rashi in the spot. You know, if you can take guarantee from him, like take his clothes or take it. But if it's the clothes he uses at the day, you take him at night, give them back at the day. If it's something he uses at night, you take him the day, bring back at night. And so, in other words, it's a whole big balagan.
In the end, you tend to keep it.
And the thing is, what is the Torah telling you? The Kodesh Boko is trying to tell you, you see, every night the neshama comes up and gives me a judgment. What did the neshama do in this world? And we all know that we are not exactly, we owe God a lot. And what is God doing?
Gives back.
He doesn't collect. He gives the neshama back. He can take another day. He say, you come to me every night. And you owe me a lot. And I don't take, so you also don't take on those nonsense. But the deep idea here is that what is the best way to give tzedakah?
So the person doesn't know anonymously. Yeah.
And give him a loan. Give him a job. Give him a loan. Help him.
Yeah.
Don't let him fall down. Then that's not the chokmah. The chokmah is helping the guy when he comes to ask for a loan. And even you offer him a loan. Im kesef talveh etami. You come to him. You know, I see you in business. You have somebody. Hey, you take money. Give it to me back when you've got. Or give it to me the next year. But then, how do you look at it? You look at it as not as a loan? No. You look at it as a tzedakah. Somebody asked me, can I use maser geld? I says, yes, why not? If your intention is not a loan, but to give it as a loan, but the idea is give it as tzedakah, so it, you can take it from maser. Just maser geld, no problem. Now, if he doesn't give it to you, no problem. If he gives it to you back, you cannot use it. Why?
Because
it's maser. So you have to give it to somebody else. But the beautiful idea behind this, the Torah is teaching us, don't come to your friend and tell him, take. He's going to feel ashamed. No, he gives me money, he gives me this. No, you come, hang on, I'll give you a loan. You give a loan, you start a business, you stand there, and this, and you give it to me back when you've got it. And you, but no, lo tiyeh lo koneshe. You don't even care. The minute you gave it from your side,
for good.
For good. That's the nicest way to do a tzedakah. That's also in the Torah. Now, another interesting point I talked about this week is that, do you know what YOLO is?
What?
YOLO.
YOLO?
YOLO.
Sounds like YOLO.
An
ice cream.
Yeah.
Is that
Hebrew word?
Like an ice cream.
Yes. Yes, you've got this YOLO, this chocolate thing.
Yeah.
It's called YOLO, you don't know?
Never heard it. I've seen it advertised.
But you know it advertised. You know how the what is YOLO?
I thought it was a yogurt or something.
You know what is the word, the meaning of YOLO?
How is it written? Oh, yeah.
You only live once.
So it poisons you.
It's like going skiing.
We're talking about those are the laws you put in front of Am Yisrael. Why? Because we are different. You know how they started advertising it? In English, not in Hebrew. And I was amazed. 2 years ago or something, or 3 years ago, I was going in the driving and I see this big sign. It tastes so good, it's almost as a sin.
It's almost a sin.
He says, what is this? And then the next day they had this YOLO.
YOLO.
I said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, what do you tell people?
Yeah. To sin.
To sin is tasty. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. To keep mitzvahs is? Nah. Yeah. No good. But that's exactly the problem. That's how the Western world looks at things. When you look at the world of the Christians or the Muslims, if they want to be holy, what do?
Kill someone.
Kill.
Not only kill, but they separate themselves from really? Women, they go on, let's say for example, the Buddhist, what do? They do, they go with this mountain and sit alone, and you think to yourself, why? What a tzaddik! He is connecting to God! Is this the idea?
No.
To be connected to God this way?
No.
Why not? What's wrong with it?
Because you
need to be a part of the community. You cannot separate yourself. In other words, if this Buddhist sits there and thinks that he's so connected to God, he's so stupid, that it's unbelievable how stupid he can be, because this is an ego trip. Because he sits with himself, with God. And what's with all the others?
Egoist.
What of... Judaism is the opposite. You be with everybody. You are a part of a community. And the same thing, if you want to be holy, what do? You get married. Not like the Christian Jew that they don't get married.
So
the Torah, Arei at mekudeshetli. Holiness is to be married. Holiness is to use the world in a right way.
Now I know where.
But what about Nazir?
There's no way.
Am I Nazirim?
The same thing.
Nazir doesn't marry.
Yeah,
why? That's what I'm saying. The same problem.
Oh, but it's
in our tradition. Of course, you get married.
But the Torah recognizes them.
No. The Nazir in the Torah is nothing to do with marriage. Right. It's only not drink wine.
You're not drinking wine, I know. But
and also, he brings a sacrifice, and one of the reasons is because he didn't drink wine. Why? Because God created the world, and what does He want us to do with this world? Neglect it,
no,
don't care about it, don't use it, or use it.
Use it.
Like, exactly, that's the idea. And that's why when you see, what do they think? YOLO. You only live once. What is this? Tam ha'chaim Coca-Cola. Taste of life, Coca-Cola. What is this? What do we say?
It's the body.
We say... Mitzvah gdola liyot besimcha. It's a great mitzvah to be in simcha. But simcha gdola liyot b'mitzvah. It's a big simcha to do a mitzvah. You see, you have I don't remember what parasha it is, you have a whole line of curses. And at the end it says, Tachat asher lo avadeta et Hashem elokecha besimcha. It says, all the curses are going to happen to you if you don't do the Torah
with
simcha, happiness. Why? I gave tzedakah, I prayed, I said tehillim, I did all the mitzvahs. But I it was hard for me and wasn't happy. So I'm going to be cursed? I'm going to be cursed?
Yeah.
Yes. Why?
Because you have to be happy.
Why do you have to be happy? You ask me to do something, we talk about a slave, I do what you said, I did it. So what's the problem?
Just doing it like a robot, you're not doing it with love.
What does it mean?
You're doing it automatically.
If I put in this glass bitter water, really bitter. If you taste them, really terrible. But I tell you, if you finish this cup, you get $10 million. Are you going to drink it?
Yeah, give it to me.
Are you going? Are you going to be happy while you drink it?
No.
Why not? Happy? I didn't say you're going. It's going to be hard. It's going to you're going to suffer. But are you going to be happy?
Oh, maybe because you know.
Of course you're going to be happy because you know that when you finish this glass, you get $10 million.
But also when you drink a glass of bitter medicine and the toxaot is to get healed from your disease, also you drink with pleasure.
No, because it's a different thing.
Why?
Because you're ill.
That's right.
Because you're ill, think about it. Yeah, you're right that you need to drink it, but you drink this because you're ill and you want to be cured. Here I'm talking the opposite. You are 100% and you're making yourself ill. In a certain way, because this is very, it's hard to drink. Yeah. But what you're going to get afterward is so good that you're happy about it. In other words, if I understand that keeping the mitzvahs is going to give me an unbelievable reward, it's going to give me everything I want in life, eternity, Olam Haba. If I realize what it is, the value of it, should I do the mitzvahs happy or sad?
Happy.
And if I do them sad?
Then you won't get Olam Haba.
I didn't do anything. That's not the idea. In other words, the taste of life is not Coca-Cola. The taste of life is Torah. And you live only once, we live forever. We are in this world as a passageway to the next world. And sin doesn't taste good. Tastes terrible. What tastes good is mitzvah. And this is something we have to put in our mind. And you look around and see this whole world is talking like this.
Yeah, I can't go with that. Sometimes sin is tasty. The consequences.
That's what you're talking about. But that's what you're talking about.
Exactly. I go with you there.
That's what you're talking about. Of course, when you do it at that certain moment, Rabbi Adam Sinai says, somebody, he wants to fly. Which is an unbelievable. Think about it. You know, if you could fly, it's unbelievable. Think about fly. Wow. Like Superman, Superwoman. Unbelievable.
Gal Gadot.
Unbelievable. Okay, so I go now up at what is the highest building in Ranana? Not so high. Let's go to Tel Aviv. 40 flights, okay? 40 flights. I go to the 40th flight and I jump. Wow! Unbelievable pleasure. And I enjoy myself. Ooh,
land.
Finished. I enjoy it for 2 minutes. And then I'm dead. So?
Not worth it.
That's what they say. Live the moment. And what's after the moment?
You're
dead. So the Torah doesn't say live the moment. Not this way. And that's exactly the point. If what you've got in front of you is only what happens in now, you have a problem. If the slave is the neshama and the body is the master, that's a problem. And that's what the Torah is telling us. And it's unbelievable. And we go on. I can never forget it. Like when I saw this the first time, I says, nevertheless, not enough. They not writing it in Hebrew. Why? Do you shame? Why do you write it in English? Like in English looks like international. Yeah, it is international. But it's not our language. And it's not our language. And he says, why? They're very clever. They didn't write it in Hebrew because in Hebrew you cannot write a thing like this. Only in English. Because it's not the holy language. YOLO. You know, so many people don't even, they forgot already. And when I saw this advertisement, I was just, it's unbelievable. But that's true. That's the truth behind things.
La Briut.
Yeah, La Briut.
That means it's true.
Yeah.
That's why Hashem created the Yetzer Hara.
Yes. That's why we're here. Why are we here then? And that's, and with this we finish. Said the Torah to us, V'anshei kodesh tiyunli. You should be holy people. What's anshei kodesh tiyunli? What is the Torah trying to tell us? Anshei kodesh tiyunli. The Torah is not telling us be angels. Be people. Be human being. But be holy human being. The Torah doesn't want us to be angels. Angels got no Yetzer Hara. Only human being got Yetzer Hara. And that's what the Torah is telling us. That's what I want you to be. Human being with Yetzer Hara, fight against it and be holy. Okay. We cannot win everything. But if this is our way, every small victory is a big victory. Because God knows exactly what we're going through. And we all know it's not very easy to fight Yetzer Hara. But we fight. And if we fight, at the end of the way, we win. Why? Because Ele Amishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneem. We are different. We know what is the truth and what is the lie. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we make sure that the neshama, at least a part of the day, will be the master. At least a part of the day. You know, just for a beginning, I think it's very good.
Right.
She always talks about that.